A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
We got a listener question. That is, I have to say, long overdue. Someone wrote in asking whether Herman's family name is actually Poppleberry. We've seen the birth certificate, but they want to know where the name comes from, how big the Poppleberry clan is, what it derives from, and whether we know any other Poppleberries. Which, Herman, I realize I've never actually asked you any of this.
Nobody ever asks. They just stare at the name and then decide it must be a stage name. I've been explaining this my whole life. Poppleberry is real. It's on my medical license. It was on my diploma. DJ Herman Poppleberry is not a persona. It's just me with a mixer.
The medical license part is genuinely reassuring, because Dr. Poppleberry sounds like a character from a children's book about a kindly woodland veterinarian.
I got that exact comment from a patient's parent once. She asked if I also treated hedgehogs. I said I'd refer her to a specialist. But to answer the actual question, the name is English. It's a locational surname, which means it originally referred to a place. There's a village in, well, actually, let me back up. The earliest records I've been able to find are from the early 1700s in Kent, in southeast England. There's a cluster of Poppleberries in the parish registers there. Baptisms, marriages, burials. The name appears consistently in a handful of villages around the Romney Marsh area.
The Poppleberry ancestral homeland is a marsh.
A very atmospheric marsh. Romney Marsh is this flat, windswept coastal wetland, famous for smugglers historically. The Romney sheep breed comes from there.
The family business.
No known Poppleberry smugglers, but I can't rule it out. The point is, the name almost certainly comes from a place name that no longer exists, or at least no longer appears on maps. Popple is an old English dialect word for a poplar tree, or sometimes for pebbles. It shows up in place names like Poppleton in Yorkshire. Berry could be from Berry, meaning a fortified place or manor, or it could literally mean a berry, as in a place where berries grow. So Poppleberry probably meant something like the manor by the poplar trees, or the hill where berries grow among the pebbles.
Your ancestors looked at a hill with some trees and went, "Yes, this is us now."
That's how most surnames started. You were John from the place with the poplar trees, and eventually you were just John Poppleberry.
Which raises the question of how many John Poppleberries there actually are. How big is this clan?
I've done a fair amount of genealogical digging, and based on census records from the UK, the US, Canada, and Australia, I'd estimate there are maybe 40 to 50 living Poppleberries in the entire world, and that's being generous.
40 to 50. That's not a clan. That's a dinner party.
With a few people stuck at the kids' table, yes. The name has never been common, and it nearly died out at least twice that I can trace. There was a dip in the late 1800s where I can only find two male Poppleberries of childbearing age in the entire UK census. If either of them had not had sons, the name would have vanished.
Every Poppleberry alive today is descended from those two men.
Probably from one of them, actually. The other one's line seems to have petered out by the early 1900s. So the entire global Poppleberry population is likely descended from a single guy in Kent who had enough sons to keep the name going. Somebody named either William or Thomas Poppleberry, born around 1820 or so.
The Poppleberry Adam.
The Poppleberry bottleneck, more accurately. Population geneticists call this a genetic bottleneck when a population shrinks to a tiny number and then expands again. The Poppleberry surname went through a cultural bottleneck. One family, one name, one very specific patch of English marshland.
Do you know this William or Thomas personally, or is this just records?
I've traced my own line back to a Thomas Poppleberry born in 1824 in a village called Appledore, which is right on the edge of Romney Marsh. He was an agricultural laborer. Married a woman named Mary, had seven children, four of them boys. Two of those boys had sons of their own, and one of them eventually emigrated. To Connecticut, yes. My great-great-grandfather, Arthur Poppleberry, arrived in New York in 1891 and settled in stores. He worked on a dairy farm, eventually bought his own land, and that's how the American Poppleberries began.
How many American Poppleberries are there now?
I know of 11, including myself. My father was an only child. I have 2 cousins on that side, one of whom has kids. There's a branch in Ohio that I'm loosely in touch with, and a few in Oregon. The rest are scattered around the UK, with 1 family in Australia and 1 in Toronto.
You've actually tracked all of them.
I've tried. There's a Poppleberry family tree I've been maintaining for years. Every time I find a new one, I add them. It's not hard to keep up when the entire global directory fits on a single sheet of paper.
Have you met any of the non-immediate ones?
I met the Ohio Poppleberries at a family reunion about 15 years ago. That was the first time I'd ever been in a room with more than 3 Poppleberries who weren't my parents or siblings. It was surreal. We all looked at each other with this unspoken recognition of shared absurdity. Like, you too. You also had to spell your name 3 times at every doctor's appointment.
The Poppleberry nod.
There's a bond. It's not a close bond. We're not sending each other Christmas cards, but there's an understanding.
I have to ask, because I know someone listening is wondering this. Has any Poppleberry ever been famous?
Not even slightly. I've searched. No politicians, no athletes, no actors, no scientists of note. The most prominent Poppleberry I've ever found was a man named Cyril Poppleberry, who wrote a letter to the editor of the Kent Messenger in 1953 complaining about the condition of the roads. That's the peak of Poppleberry public achievement before this podcast.
Cyril Poppleberry, civic-minded road complainer.
He was ahead of his time on infrastructure, apparently. The letter was quite detailed about potholes.
You might be the most famous Poppleberry in history.
That's a deeply unsettling thought, and I try not to dwell on it. But statistically, yes. A retired pediatrician with a DJ side hustle might be the most publicly visible bearer of the name in 400 years.
The Poppleberry who broke the ceiling, or at least nudged it.
The ceiling was low. I didn't have to jump.
Let's go back to the origin for a second. You said popple means poplar tree. Is that definitely it, or is there scholarly debate about this?
There's always scholarly debate about surname origins. Some sources suggest popple could come from the Old English pipple, meaning a pebble or a stream with a pebbly bed. So it might be the manor by the pebbly stream. Others think it's related to popple, an old word for a small person or a doll, though that seems less likely for a place name. The poplar tree explanation is the most widely accepted.
Nobody knows for certain.
Surname etymology is a lot of educated guesswork layered over centuries of spelling variations, and Poppleberry has some truly magnificent spelling variations. I've seen it written as Poppleberry, 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 Poppleberry. The 1841 census has a family listed as Poppleberry, with an E census takers wrote what they heard, and apparently what they heard was chaos.
Poppleberry sounds like a dessert.
A crumble, perhaps.
With actual berries.
Which would be thematically appropriate. But no, the spelling didn't standardize until the late 1800s. Even my own grandfather's birth certificate has a slight variation from what I use now. He was registered as Poppleberry with a U.
When did the berry spelling lock in?
For my branch, around 1910. My great-grandfather started using the B-E-R-R-Y spelling consistently in official documents. I don't know why he chose that version. Maybe he liked berries. Maybe he thought it looked more distinguished. Maybe the clerk at the immigration office just picked one, and he went with it.
The administrative randomness that shapes a family's identity for generations.
That's how it works. People assume surnames are these ancient, fixed things, but spelling was fluid for most of history. Shakespeare spelled his own name 6 different ways. Your surname spelling is basically whichever version the most literate person in your family happened to settle on.
Somewhere in the chain, a Poppleberry made an aesthetic choice, and now you're DJ Herman Poppleberry, instead of DJ Herman Poppleberry.
Which would have been fine, too. Poppleberry has a nice ring to it. Very English manor house.
Sounds like a town the detective visits in a murder mystery. The body was found in Poppleberry.
Inspector, there's been another one, down by the pebbly stream.
Near the poplars.
Always near the poplars.
The name has been around since at least the 1700s. That's 300 years, give or take. And it's still barely hanging on.
That's what fascinates me. The name survived 3 centuries but never thrived. It never spread. Most surnames that old have branched out into dozens or hundreds of lineages. It's like a plant that never quite goes extinct but never takes over the garden either.
The bonsai of surnames.
Carefully pruned by circumstance into a very small, very specific shape.
Do you feel any pressure as one of the few remaining Poppleberries of childbearing age? Or, I suppose, past childbearing age, but still.
I think about it sometimes. I don't have children, neither does my brother. The Connecticut Poppleberries are down to me and my cousins, and only one of them has kids. The name could disappear in another generation or two if those kids don't have sons who keep the name.
That's a strange kind of weight to carry.
On one hand, it's just a name. It's a sequence of letters that happened to stick to a family because of a marsh and some trees. On the other hand, it's been carried continuously for 300 years, through agricultural labor and emigration and world wars and everything else, and if it ends, it ends with us. There's no other branch to pick it up.
The last Poppleberry.
Although I should say, there might be Poppleberries I haven't found. The name is so rare that some might have fallen off the genealogical radar entirely. There could be a Poppleberry family in New Zealand that's just been quietly living their lives without ever appearing in a searchable database.
The Lost Poppleberries. Sounds like the title of a children's adventure novel.
I would read that book. But yes, it's possible. Genealogy is never truly complete. You're always working with partial records and assumptions.
Have you ever been contacted by a stranger who shares the name?
About 10 years ago, I got an email from a woman in British Columbia who had married a Poppleberry and was doing family history research. She'd found my name in some online tree and reached out. Turns out her husband was from the UK branch, a descendant of one of the brothers who stayed in Kent when my ancestor left for America. We exchanged some records. It was lovely.
Did you feel an instant kinship?
I felt an instant curiosity. Here was someone I shared a name with, a direct genealogical connection, and I'd never known he existed. We weren't family in any meaningful sense. We'd never met, had no shared experiences. But there was this strange little thread connecting us, a name that almost nobody else in the world has.
The Poppleberry thread.
Thin, but surprisingly strong.
You said there might be a village that no longer exists. What happened to it? Did it just fade out of records?
This is where it gets speculative, but I'll give you my best theory. There are thousands of lost villages in England. Some were abandoned after the Black Death. Some were cleared for sheep farming during the enclosure period. Some just dwindled until there was nothing left. If Poppleberry was a real place, and I think it was probably a very small settlement, maybe just a handful of houses, that got absorbed into a larger parish or simply ceased to be named separately on maps.
Your ancestors didn't just come from a marsh. They came from a ghost village in a marsh.
Which is extremely on brand for this family, honestly.
The Poppleberries, arising from a ghost village, persisting against all odds, peaking with a letter about potholes.
Don't forget the podcast.
How could I forget the podcast? You're correcting the record on potholes and surnames simultaneously.
Multi-generational achievement.
Let's talk about the name itself as a linguistic artifact. You mentioned Popple and Berry. Is there any chance it's Norman French? A lot of English surnames have French origins from after the conquest.
I've looked into that. There's no obvious Norman French root that maps cleanly onto Poppleberry. The Berry part could theoretically be from the Norman Bori or Bori, meaning a manor or estate. That's the same Germanic root that gives us burg and borough. But Popple doesn't have a clear French equivalent. It's much more likely to be Anglo-Saxon, which would make it a pre-conquest name, or at least a name derived from pre-conquest place elements.
The Poppleberries were in England before the Normans showed up.
The name elements were. Whether the specific family was, we can't know. The surname only appears in records from the 1700s onward. Before that, most ordinary people didn't have fixed surnames. You were just William, or William the Smith, or William from the place with the poplar trees. The surname crystallized later.
The linguistic DNA is Anglo-Saxon.
Which means, every time I introduce myself, I'm basically saying, "Hello, I'm from the Anglo-Saxon settlement by the poplar trees near the marsh."
It's a lot to fit on a business card.
It's a lot to fit in a conversation. People's eyes glaze over somewhere around poplar.
Have you ever considered changing it?
I love this name. It's completely absurd and completely mine. It's been a conversation starter my entire life. It's memorable in a way that Smith or Jones could never be. When I was a pediatrician, kids loved it. They'd come in nervous, and I'd say, "I'm Dr. Poppleberry," and suddenly they were smiling. It disarmed them.
The therapeutic power of a silly name.
You can't be scared of a doctor called Poppleberry. It's medically impossible.
There should be a study.
I'd co-author it. the Poppleberry Effect, surnamed Silliness, as a pediatric anxiety intervention.
The New England Journal of Medicine would snap that up.
They'd have to. The data would be compelling.
What about the other Poppleberries you found? Do any of them have interesting stories? You mentioned the Ohio branch.
The Ohio Poppleberries are descended from a brother of my great-grandfather who moved west in the early 1900s. He worked in manufacturing, had 5 children. One of his grandsons, a man named George Poppleberry, was a high school math teacher in Toledo for 40 years, retired in the 90s. By all accounts, a very kind, very quiet man who just wanted to teach algebra and be left alone.
George Poppleberry, the algebra teacher of Toledo.
I find that moving, actually. Here's a man with this absurd, rare, slightly comical name, and he just lived a completely ordinary, decent life. No attempt to make the name mean something grand. Just taught teenagers how to solve for X and went home.
The dignity of the unremarkable Poppleberry.
Not every name has to belong to someone famous. Most names belong to people like George, and there's something beautiful about that.
Do you know if any of his students remember him?
I don't know for certain, but I'd be surprised if they didn't. You don't forget a name like Poppleberry. Even if they forgot the quadratic formula, they remember the name.
The name as a mnemonic device for the teacher, if not the subject.
I don't remember anything from 10th grade math, but the teacher was called Mr. That's probably a common experience.
Are there any Poppleberries in Israel, or is it just you?
I'm the only Poppleberry in the entire Middle East, as far as I know, which makes me the regional representative of the name.
The Poppleberry Ambassador.
No diplomatic immunity.
That's probably for the best, given the pothole complaint tradition. You'd be sending strongly worded letters to the Knesset.
The condition of the roads in Jerusalem is unacceptable. Poppleberry continuing a family tradition.
Cyril would be proud.
Cyril would be confused about why his descendant lives in the Levant, but yes, I think he'd appreciate the continuity of civic engagement.
Let's zoom out a bit. Surnames in general are a relatively recent invention for most of the world. In England, they didn't become universal until after the Norman Conquest, and even then they took centuries to stabilize. So the fact that Poppleberry exists at all is a product of a very specific historical window.
Fixed hereditary surnames are not a natural feature of human society. They're a technology. They were invented to keep track of people for taxation, inheritance, and legal purposes. The Doomsday Book in 1086 doesn't have surnames. By the 1300s, most English people had them, but they were still fluid. Poppleberry is a product of that transition period when people were taking names from the landscape and passing them down.
The name is basically a fossil of that administrative moment.
A linguistic fossil, yes. Frozen in the early modern period and carried forward unchanged, more or less, for 300 years. And because it's so rare, it's a particularly clean fossil. It hasn't been eroded by the usual processes of surname evolution, where common names split into dozens of variants. Poppleberry is too small to diversify.
It's a surname isolate, like a language isolate, but for family names.
Basque is a language isolate. It's not related to any other living language. Poppleberry is a surname isolate. It exists in its own little genealogical bubble.
Which makes it valuable in a weird way. If you're studying how English surnames formed and evolved, common names give you big data but lots of noise. A name like Poppleberry gives you a clean signal. One origin, one lineage, one trajectory.
I've actually been contacted by a surname researcher who was interested in exactly that. He was studying rare English locational surnames and their geographic persistence. Poppleberry was on his list. He was very excited to find a living bearer.
You're a data point.
A very enthusiastic data point. I gave him everything I had. Census records, family trees, spelling variants. He published a paper in some onomastics journal. I'm cited in the acknowledgments.
The study of names.
The study of proper names, yes. It's a real academic field. And somewhere in the footnotes of a paper on English surname geography, there's a thank you to Herman Poppleberry.
That's delightful. You've contributed to human knowledge just by existing with that name.
It's the easiest academic contribution I've ever made. I didn't have to do anything except be born.
The laziest possible scholarship.
Korn, you're a sloth. You have no standing to criticize laziness.
I'm not criticizing. I'm admiring. I aspire to that level of effortless contribution.
You'd have to change your name to something equally rare.
I have my own brand.
Corn is not a rare name in the sloth community?
I wouldn't know. I haven't been back to Mongolia in years.
You've never been to Mongolia?
That's what they want you to think.
Who is they?
But we're not getting into that.
We never do. Every time anteaters come up, you deflect.
Because it's not relevant. We're talking about your name, not my completely justified historical grievances.
Historical grievances about anteaters.
The listener also asked if we know other puppleberries. Beyond the genealogy, have you ever randomly encountered one in the wild?
I have never been at a conference or a restaurant or an airport and heard the name Poppleberry called out for someone else. It's never happened. The name is so rare that every Poppleberry I know of, I found through deliberate searching.
If you did hear it in the wild, you'd probably have a moment.
I'd absolutely have a moment. I'd probably walk up to the person and introduce myself. Hello, I'm also a Poppleberry. We're probably related. Would you like to see a family tree?
They'd slowly back away.
It's a very intense opening. But how could I not? Meeting an unknown Poppleberry would be like finding a new species. You have to document it.
The Poppleberry Naturalist.
I prefer Poppleberry Enthusiast. Naturalist implies more training than I have.
What about the name in popular culture? Has it ever appeared in a book or a film? Any fictional Poppleberries?
I've searched. There's a minor character in a 1920s British novel called The Poppleberry Affair. I own a copy, it's terrible, but the character is a location, not a person. Poppleberry is the name of a fictional village in the story. The author presumably heard the name somewhere and liked the sound of it.
The Poppleberry Affair. That sounds like a lost Agatha Christie.
It wishes it were a lost Agatha Christie. It's a deeply mediocre mystery about a stolen necklace. The village of Poppleberry is described as picturesque but damp, which, given the marshland origin, is probably accurate.
Picturesque but damp. The Poppleberry motto.
I should put that on a coat of arms. A poplar tree, some pebbles, and the words picturesque but damp in Latin.
Picturescus sed humidus.
That's going on the family crest immediately.
Do the Poppleberries have a family crest?
We're not that kind of family. Coats of arms were for the nobility and the landed gentry. The Poppleberries were agricultural laborers. We didn't have a crest, we had a shovel.
The shovel of Poppleberry.
Probably several shovels. We were practical people.
If you were to design one now, what would be on it?
I've thought about this. A poplar tree, obviously. A sheep, for Romney Marsh. A stethoscope, for the medical line. And maybe a small pair of headphones for the DJ side hustle.
That's a busy crest.
It's an inclusive crest. It represents the full Poppleberry experience.
The modern Poppleberry experience, anyway. I'm not sure the 18th century ones would recognize the headphones.
They'd adapt. The Poppleberries have always adapted. Marsh to manufacturing, to medicine, to music. It's a trajectory.
From shovels to stethoscopes to synthesizers.
That's the arc of history, right there.
Is there any part of the name's history that you find puzzling? Something you haven't been able to figure out?
There's a gap in the records between about 1680 and 1720. I can't find any Poppleberries in that period. It's possible the name was spelled so differently that I'm not recognizing it, or the records were lost, or the family moved and I haven't found them yet. But there's a 40-year window where the name just vanishes from every source I've checked.
The Poppleberry Dark Age.
And I'd love to know what happened. Did they die out and the name was revived by a different family? Did they move to a parish whose records were destroyed? Were they just not recorded because they were poor and mobile? It's the one piece of the puzzle I can't solve.
Does that frustrate you?
But it's also kind of perfect. A name this strange should have a mystery at its center. It would be almost disappointing if the whole story were neatly documented.
The Poppleberry Enigma.
It's on brand. We're not supposed to be fully knowable.
You said earlier that the name could disappear in a generation or two. Does that bother you?
There's something melancholy about being the last chapter of a 300-year story. But names come and go. That's what they do. Most of the surnames that existed in 1700 England are extinct now. Poppleberry had a good run. If it ends, it ends.
That's remarkably philosophical.
I've had a lot of time to think about it. And look, the name might not end. My cousin's kids might have kids who keep it. Someone in the UK branch might have a son. A lost Poppleberry in New Zealand might emerge with a whole family tree. You never know.
The Poppleberries, always on the brink, never quite falling off.
That's been the story for 3 centuries. Why would it change now?
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In the early Renaissance, artisans discovered that a specific geometric tiling of octagons and squares, when glazed with tin oxide, could produce an optical effect that made a flat floor appear to ripple like the surface of the Drake Passage in a storm.
Right. I have so many questions, and I'm going to ask none of them.
That's probably wise.
To wrap this up, the name Poppleberry comes from an English locational origin, probably meaning the manor by the poplar trees, or the pebbly stream settlement. The clan is tiny, maybe 40 or 50 people worldwide, and Herman is almost certainly its most publicly visible member, which is either delightful or concerning depending on your perspective.
A little of both. And I want to say to the listener who asked, thank you for the question. Nobody's ever asked me this on air before, and I enjoyed talking about it. If there are any Poppleberries listening who I haven't found yet, please get in touch. I'd love to add you to the tree.
The Poppleberry Census continues. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
Until next time.
Picturesque, but damp.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.